This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's after show for Good Trouble. We are recapping season 1, episode 5, playing an innocent little game of Have You Been Good or Trouble? And of course, as always, we have a very special guest, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, you guys? Thank you so much for joining us again this week for the season 1, episode 5 review of Good Trouble, Freeform's Good Trouble. We are so excited. This episode is titled Parental Guidance Suggested, which is an interesting title because hashtag, what was it, the moms are back?
Return of the moms.
Sounds like a horror movie, but
it really does. I love it. So today we're going to be recapping the episode, of course. Then we're going to be moving on to a special segment of This Girl is Dope, where we highlight the woman of the week in tech or politics who's killing it and deserves much recognition. Then we're going to be hopping right over to a fun game of Have You Been Good or Trouble. And then we have some amazing questions for our special guest, which we will introduce in just a moment. But to my left, I have the very woke Taylor Gates.
Thank you so much. What's up, guys? I love this episode. I'm so hyped to talk about it.
I know. It's going to be incredible. And we also have the unapologetic Shay Jones.
Hey guys. I can't apologize for anything today. This is amazing. And guys, today we have the brilliant, the amazing, the creator, executive producer, writer, and director of tonight's episode, Mr. Bradley Bredewey.
Hey.
Hi guys. Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Yes. All the hats. Hey.
The hats.
I'm wearing all the hats of this episode. Yeah.
I did not wear a hat. Today.
Yeah. We're like, we love your hat, first of all.
My imaginary hat.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous.
All right, Taylor. Have another drink.
Yeah. I think she had one of the pot cookies.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Very appropriate.
Which we will get into. Don't you worry. But this episode was so great. I loved having the moms back. It's something that I've craved since episode 1 because I just love them so, so much. By the way, I'm Dakota T. Jones. Thanks for joining us. So let's kind of jump right on into this, because the first thing I wanted to highlight on was that Mariana is racking up her bill, and the apartment looks incredible. She's totally refurnished it, and it looks amazing. But, like,
at what cost?
Yeah.
$20,000. That's the cost.
I know, which was absolutely insane. So I want to see. I'm really hoping that she can make it back quick with her job, if she gets to keep her job, because we know that's been a rocky ride. But what were your thoughts on the moms coming back, your emotions, your feelings? Let it all out.
I mean, I had so many feelings. You know, I just had all of the feelings. But I just love how, like, authentic this felt. And I feel like the Fosters just really captured, like, what it's like to, like, be the parent of teenagers and, like, what it's like to have parents when you are a teenager. And I feel like it's just been so seamless of a transition, like, over with this show and, like, having adult relationships, like, with your parents, which is great, and just the way they spoke to each other. And I could relate so much, and I just feel like I can relate every single week. And I love that we got to bring that element of, you know, we had siblings with Jude, now we got to bring the moms back, which was great.
Yeah. Are you close with your parents?
Yeah.
So did you call them, like, every day of every week when you first moved here?
A little bit. I still text my mom over, like, the stupidest stuff that happens at work. I'm like, I don't want to bother her, I guess, but also, like, I know that she likes it. Like, just like what Steph and Lena were saying, like, please bother me because I miss you. And so that's how my mom always tells me, so.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
I mean, that's why we did it. It's like, I moved to New York when I was in my early 20s, and I, you know, back then didn't have cell phones, but I would go down to the payphone every hour.
Whoa.
To call my mom because I was in this great big city by myself, and I, you know, I just needed mama.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where all that comes from.
I love that. Yeah, it definitely struck a chord with me because when I moved here 5 years ago from Missouri, I still call my mom and dad every day. Like,
yes.
I have it like every day before work, I call them and I talk to them for like a good 20 minutes every single day. And it's just like refreshing because as we see with this episode, having their moms there really kind of refreshed them and got them together and kind of ready to take on the world again. Sometimes when you're by yourself, you can lose yourself a little bit and like your parents, if you have great parents and are as lucky as I am, they can kind of get you back on track and kind of make you refreshed and like ready to go, which I love.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
It was different for me because it just reminded me like moving in your first apartment and just cleaning.
Yeah.
You want to like make sure everything is perfect. So you like, everything is perfectly fine. I am an adult. I can handle this. But what I loved about the episode was that sometimes you just need your mom, you just need that parent to remind you that it is difficult and hard to be an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's okay to tell them, like, what's going on in your life because, they one, they want to know, and two, they've lived it. So they can obviously also help you guide you through it.
Right.
Guidance. Parental guidance is suggested.
Yes. Well,
look at how that title works.
Look at it. It's just so great. An alternate title could have been just PG-13.
We thought about it. Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that. Well, when the moms come in, it's just complete chaos. It's like a fire trap. You know, what great timing was that?
Yeah.
Dennis coming out of the shower with this younger woman who, she assumed might be underage, and she was freaking out about that. And then the pee pot was hilarious. I was like, when she held that up, I'm like, that's not what I think it is. And then I was like, it makes sense, just because they don't want to have to go to that
it's
bathroom.
A chamber pot, yep.
But that's always how it is, though. Like, my parents just helped me move apartments, and I was like, I'm gonna, clean the whole thing and, like, clean my desk off. And then, like, of course, there's, like, this giant dust bunny in the corner. I'm like, they think that I'm not living well. Right. You know what I mean? And I'm trying so hard.
They find that one thing,
of
right?
Of course, there's always gonna be the one thing that you, like, leave out or forget.
Because you thought of everything.
Right.
But you didn't.
Nope.
No.
It's not possible.
And then we move on to the moms eating the pot cookie, which I thought was brilliant. I've never, like, seen something so hilarious. Just, like, them just, because, they're uptight sometimes. And just seeing them let loose and, like, do improv and just the whole thing. We were just dying the entire time.
I'm so glad you, like, gave them that storyline. Because, yes. You could just tell that everyone was having so much fun.
Oh, my God. We had a blast. You know, we shoot scenes really quickly. But with that improv scene, we just wanted to have fun and play. And so I went over, we kind of time out every scene at the beginning of the day. And I think I had maybe 3 hours for that scene to shoot the whole thing. And I was like, no, I almost cussed, by the way.
I caught myself.
And I threw that out the window, and I think we took like 5.5 hours for that scene.
Wow.
Because we just let Terry and the entire cast, but mostly Terry, just like run with it and play. And it was one of the first days, I think, on the schedule. And so it just really set the tone for the episode. You know, it was like, oh, the moms are back. Terry's back. Sherry's back. We're having the best time. And we just improvised the improv scene.
That's amazing.
I was gonna ask that because I feel like I was like, Terry Polo, isn't she? She's like known for that. Like,
yeah, it was scripted, but she went off the page a lot.
I love
and
that.
We used a lot of it.
My favorite part was just, you can tell, are you 18? You can tell me.
You can tell me.
Do you need help? Should you be here?
I was just, typical
it
Terry.
Was, it's also just such a mom move to at that point. You're just like, honey, if you need help, you can just tell me. Like, I obviously I'm probably like really stoned, but I'm still here to help.
Right.
Like, I think at her core, the core of who she was just really coming out at that point too. It was so funny. I don't know why I want to be in Dennis's like improv class now.
I do too. Just,
absolutely.
I don't.
You don't?
You don't?
No desire. No, not my thing.
I just thought it was amazing. And like Davi in the corner just cracking up the entire time.
Oh my God, Emma Hunton.
Yes,
she's brilliant. Yeah,
she's so funny. She really just brings like an extra life to this show. As far as just like everything she does, just it's bigger than life, and I love it.
She's a spitfire, and she's a badass, and she's brave, and she's relentless, and she's raw and honest, and all of it. Like she wears everything on her sleeve, mm-hmm. And that's what makes a really great kind of iconic performer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really brings it.
She's going
does someplace,
that Emma.
Yes, she is. Absolutely. So I guess with Dennis, we kind of get more of a storyline, which was interesting because we haven't really gotten a ton from him until this episode. And so seeing him kind of break down in the communal bathroom, and it was just so sad to see, like, obviously his son had passed away whenever the son was 6 years old. And it added like a whole nother element to him because we all just assume he's just this guy who wants to be a rock star and he's there and he's always partying and having fun and bringing home younger girls. And it just added this extra layer to him where we're like, okay, like, you are human. You're not just, like, this guy who goes through women and doesn't have a lot of goals for himself. He's really dealing with a lot, and he's trying to just survive and kind of make the best of his situation. He doesn't want to be alone, which I think a lot of people can relate to. And so I just love seeing Steph and him just, like, really kind of bond, because they're such opposite. They're polar opposites. So the fact that they were able to kind of come together and in that moment for her to be there for him whenever they don't really know each other was an incredible moment. And I just love how at the end, whenever they were able to hug, and it was just like, I don't know. I want to know more of Dennis' story, and I just can't wait to see what he's going to do next. And I just hope that he doesn't feel alone.
There's a lot more. Yeah, there's a lot more to come. Yeah. And we held the story for a long time for that very reason. Mm. We wanted the viewers to, you know, to just think that that's who he was. Mm-hmm. He was this lazy sort of, you know, guy in his mid-30s who didn't really have a path, but he just wanted to be a rock star, and that was it. Like, that's all you are, dude. So we wanted people to have that feeling going into, you know, mid-season. And so we purposely waited to reveal the story, you know, 5 episodes in.
Yeah.
And I think that in ways they definitely are opposites, but I did actually see a lot of similarities between, like, he and Steph, because Steph is very stubborn and does tend to push people away, and I think that's what sort of how Dennis is wired as well. And so I think that she was sort of the perfect person to kind of draw that out of him. And his story, you're right, it was so tragic. And the line that I wrote down that just, like, crushed me was, I just need something that can fill me up a little. It's like, oh, that's just that's devastating to hear.
For me, it was just awesome to see, because obviously he was a dad, but in a way she was also being a mom to him in that way. And also the way Lena was to Malika for even a second. I love that symmetry.
Yeah. Well, both of our moms have that innate ability to, like, draw things out of people around them, right? They're caretakers. Mm-hmm. They have been, you know, for a very long time now. And so that's why we devised it that way. And when we shot that scene with Dennis and Steph, there was not a dry eye in the house. Like, I just remember being behind the monitor, and when Josh Pence really went there, you know, I couldn't even call cut, because we were just all, like, welling up behind the monitors. But it was it was one of my favorite moments, I think, in the history of even the Fosters and Good Trouble now. Mm-hmm. This episode in particular, but that scene, big time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And it was sort of unexpected, which I love. Like, I did not see that coming. Like, seeing the preview or reading the synopsis for this episode, like, you just have this great ability to establish these really surprising connections and make them work so well, even though, like, maybe just thinking about it, like, be like, how would that happen? You know what right. I mean? And just, it clicks.
Yeah. And it was so interesting. Obviously, when Lena was high, she stumbles into Malika's room. And so, you know, I was assuming, oh my gosh, Malika's going to come in and be so mad, you know, and they're going to not get along or something. I thought maybe that was what's going to happen. I just love how they really kind of related and kind of, like, clicked, and, you know, they were able to help each other, you know, with, like, what they were going through. And the fact that, you know, at the end there, she was able to kind of help encourage her, as long as the rest of the family, to, like, no, you need to continue to run. Yeah. And you shouldn't let people get in the way of that, and you should, you know, follow what you think is right and what you need to do to help others, which I love, because we see, you know, her as the mom who's always, like, momming everyone. Can you imagine if she was in a position of politics? She would be able to help so many people, because she's just the best person to do so. And so I love how they were kind of able to relate. Obviously, it was kind of messy, though, for Callie, because Jamal's mother shows up unannounced, and, you know, Callie just, like, bolts. And so, wow, I know that Ben is up to no good. I mean, I'm not really sure exactly what his position is. I'm sure it's just basically he wants to be on the case and try to get her off the case. Or maybe he's just very curious and just wants to get to the bottom of it because he knows that something's there. I'm just interested to see what he's going to do with that information.
And you gave us all the story beats, man. You just, like, boom, 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 boom. Like, you took us on a journey right there. I was like, whoa. Yeah. I just want to talk about Lena being, hi, Lena. Like, yeah. She like, killed that. You know, she giggled through half the episode, and it was so much damn fun. But yeah, going back to her and Malika, you know, it's politics in particular. It's really rough right now, you know, and so many people, I think, are questioning whether they want to go into that business, because it is such a business. And I think, you know, in particular, part of this episode was, you know, saying to someone like Lena, we need more people like you in particular to not give up, to keep fighting, even though there's, you know, so many impossibilities around you. So that was part of the message of that storyline.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So timely. And just the fact that she is the more kind of soft-spoken one. Like, I love the fact that she is the one that's running. Because I feel like everyone would assume, like, it would be Steph. She's the more, you know, sort of outspoken one who's, you know, just more sort of outgoing and louder. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Lena is so, like, has so much conviction and is, like, so passionate and strong about certain things, like, she is a natural choice. It's just, like, you maybe wouldn't think so, like, on the surface. And so, I mean, she has so much potential. And you're right. She would do so much good.
Yeah, she really would.
Lena for president.
That's yes.
Lena
for president. 2020, let's go.
We need, like, we need those signs.
Yeah, right.
Lena for president.
I love what she
said. Fan to that.
Yeah, right?
Yes, man. I love what she said to Malika about the photo in her loft. Because looking at that every day, it takes so much courage to look at something that is supposed to represent so much hardship that African Americans have gone through even time and even now, but to look at it and still see the preservation and courage it takes to, despite all the naysayers behind you, just keep on pushing, it's just so profound and yeah. So beautiful, and thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, Elizabeth Eckford was her name, and she, you know, she talk about icon. Like, she's one of the icons in the history of this country. And, you know, when we started talking about this episode, and Joanna wrote this episode, you know, we got the poster in the room, and I just sat in front of the poster for, you know, 45 minutes and just stared at it. And it's one of the most powerful images I think yeah. we've ever been able to capture in our history. I was very proud that we got to.
Sorry.
No, yeah.
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 Very profound. Yeah. I loved that you guys really touched on that whole storyline, and I just love that. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next, because I feel like a lot of shows don't have the courage to really get in and, like, in-depth talk about those types of things. And so I really appreciated that, and I just think that you do that with so many of the storylines. You just really kind of go places that most people would be afraid to go. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm great. It just sometimes, you know, especially because we're also in Black History Month, too. So, yeah, you know, remembering. But just knowing that, you know, we're still here.
That's
yeah,
right.
You are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Sorry.
No, you're totally good.
And talk about a badass. You're a badass.
Thank you. Yes,
you are.
Agreed. Absolutely.
How hard you work and how passionate you are about everything that you're doing. Do you want to use my sleeve?
I love that.
That's how much I like you. That's what's killing me.
No, you're great. You're amazing. So the next thing that I thought was amazing, we touched on this earlier, was whenever they all came together and they were able to kind of have their breakdown in front of their moms and kind of just, you know, they had up this front that everything was fine and they were going to be okay. And then they just, like, let those walls down and told them everything that was going on. You know, Mariana would tell them something about Callie that Callie didn't want, and then Callie would come right back and tell her, you know, that she was $20,000 in debt. Obviously, the moms met Gael and know kind of what's going on there a little bit. I love how the moms, I mean, they don't judge their kids. Like, they're disappointed sometimes, and they're like, okay, we need to help you out to get you back on the right track. But they never, it's never like, nothing is ever too big for them to handle. Mm-hmm. And so seeing them kind of build them back up and be like, you're going to get through this, it's going to be fine, was just incredible. And I really love that, because I know the past few episodes, they've really been struggling to find themselves and where they fit in. And so just seeing them kind of get together and be like, all right, we're going to be good. And kind of seeing that bond between Callie and Mariana kind of strengthen again, where they're like, let's go watch a movie, let's hang out together. There's a lot of factors kind of pulling them apart, even though they live so close. And so seeing them kind of be able to get back in the same headspace and be there for each other, I'm really excited to see, because I feel like that's something that we've definitely needed the past few episodes.
Yeah, and I love how, like, every time they talk to the moms, they that's when they break down, because that is
literally, we're just gonna say that.
It's like, that is when it happens.
Right.
Like I'm fine just going about my day, and then I just start crying, like, as one does. Like, and it's always because I'm, like, talking to my mom about something. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know I had these emotions in me to get out, but I did. So here we are.
Except, and we talked about that scene right before we shot it, and I pulled both Maya and Sierra aside, and I remember saying, okay, you're reverting back to 16-year-old Callie and Mariana in this moment. Like, you are. Your moms are here. You've been bottling all this stuff up, and now they're sitting on your couch. Go back to 16-year-old Mariana and Callie. And they were like, oh, yeah, totally. totally.
I know. Mariana might as well have the blonde hair back, you know?
Well, it made me think of, like, one of the first, I don't know if it's, like, the first or second episode, but, like, the diary scene where, guys, I know the show much too well, but where...
When Liam's in the diary, that one?
Yeah, where you know, she thinks she stole the diary, and they're, like, yelling in the room, and I'm like, this is such a parallel. Like, this is, like, 6 years later, and yet, like, we're still...
I know. Shay doesn't know that because she's never watched The Fosters.
I have watched The Fosters. I watched this episode, okay? Give me a break. Thank you. I actually needed that.
I'll catch you up on one thing. Yeah, she's back.
And I watched the finale, though, too. Like, I was still crying, especially, like, watching the movie. I was like, don't leave the house. Stay in the house.
The Craftsman. Right.
I sort of love that you didn't watch all of The Fosters, because in a way, we wanted to make sure that, of course, we wanted to bring all of our Fosters family with us, but we also wanted to bring in a new audience for Good Trouble. So I love that we sort of have that in you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good save.
No, honestly, I do.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I love how you guys did that, because there are a lot of people who, they're jumping on watching, and I noticed the first episode, I was like, okay, so... new people are able to join and not have to have watched everything.
Yeah.
It's a totally new setup and storyline with two of our favorite characters that we don't want to let go, that we're able to bring into a new world and kind of see them. So, like, the people who have watched it all, it's amazing because we get, like, oh, there's more to the story. So yeah. I love that you really kind of went there for both parties and able to have everyone be able to enjoy it.
Yeah. I hope we found the balance. I think there's a lot of, like, secret eggs and, like, nuggets of people that watched for 5 seasons on The Fosters. And backstory, too, that we still, like Jamie and all of those other things that are starting to come back into play. But hopefully, you know, we're getting people like
this. Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to shout out K-Squared. She did the quote, "We're Adam Fosters, and we don't give up. Our mamas taught us that."
That's right.
I love that.
And that's, like, seriously one of my favorite quotes of the episode.
I know.
Like,
I love that.
It was really beautiful. I loved all the, like, the voiceover, because it's like it made you want to in tune to what they were saying, but also just watch the moment. It was just beautifully shot.
That was one of the hardest scenes to edit, actually, because the way it's scripted, it was just sort of just one line after another, and we just played it kind of straight that way, and it wasn't landing. It felt a little on the nose in a way. It felt a little preachy, and I last minute had this idea, and I threw it out to Adam, who's one of our most brilliant editors of all time. And I said, what if it's just coming at us, like, left and right, left and right, left and right, from all sides, so that they start to blend and kind of cross over? And once we did that, I was like, oh, there it is. Now I don't feel like they're preaching to me. I feel like that's the real world. Mm-hmm. It's like we're surrounded by all this noise and all this chaos. So I wanted it to feel like that in a way.
Yeah, and a little bit of a side note, but just the fact that you guys are using this, like, really sort of innovative and experimental editing style for these episodes. Like, and we had the animation with the photo, too, in the poster in this episode, and I just think it's such, like, a bold and, like, interesting choice, and I think it's working so well because it's really establishing this, like, millennial vibe, and, like, just it's not just, like, for the sake of making it look cool. Like, it's really being used as a really cool storytelling device, which I think is amazing.
Thanks.
It's kind of how we also see the world. I feel like even as millennials, sometimes, like, how you shoot it and how we see it is seriously how we think and view our time when, like events are happening in our lives.
Totally. And that was a big conversation that Peter and Joanna and I had in particular when we went into developing this, is the way that, you know, a lot of us consume story now is very different, you know, especially on social media. Not that we want the show to mirror social media, but we're constantly just watching story like this, back and forth, back and forth. We're flipping through and sliding through story. Well, in a way, we kind of structured this in that way where it's not always, you know, A plus B equals C. Sometimes it's C plus Z does not equal F,
right,
you know?
Right.
So that's why we ended up structuring a lot of the show that way.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Well, I want to get into the segment "This Girl Is Dope," but before we do, tell us about some of the cool things we've got going on at AfterBuzz.
Yeah, so we just want to say thank you guys for making us be the ESPN of TV talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your guys' help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. I read them all every week, you guys. I love hearing what you have to say. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yes, Taylor.
Yes, Taylor.
Yes.
plug, plug, plug,
gosh,
plug.
Thank you.
I'm on a fan of that.
Yes. So one of the things we love to do on the show is talk about a dope woman of the week who's really killing it in politics or in the tech world. And obviously the show is female empowerment, so we love kind of highlighting in the real world what's going on. So Taylor, take it away.
Yeah, so this week, the dopest girl of this week is Emma Gonzalez, and she is kind of a boss in politics and tech in a way. So as a high school senior, she is one of the students that survived the February 2018 Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland. And instead of, like, letting that just completely, you know, kind of destroy her life, like, as you very much could do, she decided to take that sort of anger and rage and use it for good. And she co-founded the gun control advocacy group called Never Again MSD. And she also was very involved in the March for Our Lives. She made a really, really empowering and impactful speech there. And she's also just using social media, using Twitter and Instagram to connect to a lot of people, connecting to politicians, connecting to other millennials to get everyone involved in this really important cause that she is so passionate about. So she is, and she's like a teenager still. Like, she's so inspiring and just such a role model for everyone. And she's just amazing.
That's amazing. I love her.
Yeah, she's incredible.
The Parkland generation is going to save the world, man. They really are. They've really made, you know, made a big mark on the future of this country. And it's so exciting. And thank God that it's happening.
For real.
You know?
Yeah.
She's a boss.
People like her.
Yeah, absolutely. We love you.
Incredible.
Yes. And she is definitely good.
Yes.
Yes, she is. Yes. She's good trouble, actually.
Yes.
She's
actually
causing some good trouble. Yes. That's exactly who that is.
That is amazing.
Go, Emma.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's just jump into our little game of Have You Been Good or Trouble, shall we?
Yes. Okay, guys. So for you first joining us, Have You Been Good or Trouble is also going to be our giveaway at the end of the season. And I'll tell you at the end how you can win one of these amazing paddles. So basically, I only have one question. I really couldn't think of many questions because this episode was so good. Mm-hmm. However, $20,000 in debt. So do we believe that after Mariana's talk with her moms that she will overcome her debt and be good, or will it, you know, sneak up a little bit and get her into a little bit some trouble?
Hmm.
How we feel?
3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Taylor.
I'm like Taylor's for over her here. So much.
I know. You have your paddle on good, so what makes you think she's gonna make good decisions?
I don't know. I just feel like after a talk with Steph and Lena, like you just get yourself back on track. You know, I feel like that's all I would need to get myself back on
Maybe
track.
Maybe on the Fosters, but not necessarily on good trouble.
It's a whole different world.
It's a whole new world.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out, little tangent, I think that this was not surprising at all for her, to be honest, though. Like, she has always been the one who, like, loves shopping and, like, retail therapy for, like, every little thing.
This is
now
to
it's
a new
just
level.
Like, yeah, it's like on steroids.
Absolutely,
I thought that storyline was so in character for her.
For those of you who are listening to us on iTunes, the rest of us chose trouble because we know her track record. She's always getting into trouble. Obviously, when someone gets into this much debt, it's so easy to continue because it's like, well, I'm already in that much debt, I might as well keep going. So I just want to see, like, what she would even buy next. Like, where's she going to put anything? She's got, like, a bunch of stuff, room taken up. So, like, what else is she going to buy?
Okay, so for me, it's going to be trouble for now. I feel like she will get good later. But for the foreseeable future, however, I'm saying trouble because she's a little, she's still impulsive and she's trying to, like, you know, we all try to find ways to fill that void. Some people do retail therapy, clubs, alcohol, books, just to fill that void in your life. So I feel like she really has to figure out who she wants to be in LA, in Speculate, rising that ladder for herself as a Latina woman in the tech world. So I feel like she's gonna have to grow a little bit first.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes time. So that's why I'm saying trouble, but I will change it to good for later for you.
Okay. Take all right.
A little half and half there.
I'm really excited for the next episode because I know we're going to get to see more of the Speculate world, which we obviously did the last episode, but I really want to see this interaction with her and her boss because
I love Evan. No.
That is going to be super intense, I can already tell you. I want to know, like, what's going to happen because I know that I feel like his name's Evan, right?
Yes.
He has such a, you could tell he has a good heart, and I feel like he's surrounded by people who kind of maybe manipulate him and his decisions. And so,
before we forget, so how do you win one of these amazing things?
These amazing paddles.
These amazing paddles. No, Shay. So I got, first of all, I got it custom made on Etsy by Prim and Popping. She makes amazing things. She also has her own website if you want to check it out. But how are you going to win these? So every guest that we're going to have in the season is going to sign one of these paddles. And we're just not giving away one, guys. No.
No.
That's not what we do here.
No.
We're giving away 5.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yes. Oh, sound effects.
So many chances to win.
It's our studio audience, you guys.
Oh, they're just back there. So how do you win 5? So if you're listening to us right now on iTunes, leave a review, but also, you know, give us 5 stars
mm-hmm.
because we they're amazing and they glow.
And the other ones are broken.
But also, you also have to review, so I know you're entering the contest. But for you watching us right now on YouTube, at the end of our show, leave a comment below, write 5 stars, tell us why you love the show, what got you interested in From the Fosters to now The Good Trouble, and... You know, tell us your theories, because you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, really. Your theories are... I love reading your comments. You guys are just... They have so many powerful things I would have never thought of. I'm like, okay, now I'm looking at a different way, in a different light. So I'm here for it.
I love
so
that. True.
We have the best audience in the entire world.
Yes.
Yes.
We really do. Like, so passionate and so into it. And so... It's so fun to interact with everyone. It really is.
As a biased fan myself, I'm going to agree with
you. TCAs, are you listening? Search for it now.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, season 2. Just got announced today. I mean, we should be like drinking some champagne.
News and gossip,
or something.
Guys. Season 2.
It's official.
AfterBuzz TV News.
As of today.
As of today at the TCAs.
How exciting.
Yes, it was a good day. It was a very good day.
So exciting.
I know.
That's amazing. Obviously, you knew the cast was kind of on the fence, like, oh, hopefully we think it'll happen. So we saw a video on, I think it was Sierra's Instagram.
Yeah.
Of her and Maya finding
backstage.
Out backstage. Yeah. And that was just such an incredible video because you could just see the excitement. And it made me excited because I felt like I was, like, right there with them. I was like, we did it, you know?
It was us!
We were with the rest of the cast was in the audience, too. And when Tom announced it, like, everybody screamed from the cast. And kind of dropped to their knees. And there were some tears. It was really
It's a pale
cool.
ale tossed around.
Pale ale. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That's exciting. It must have just been a great moment. I'm sure that, like, whenever they announced it and the audience erupted, I'm sure it was just incredible.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a really great time today.
Congrats. Yeah. We are so excited because that means we can do a season 2 of our after show. So we'll be back. And you guys can catch us every week, obviously. So I have a question. So what are you hoping to see more of in season 2?
What am I hoping? Oh, yeah. I know what's coming in season 2. So
that's true. You have to be careful.
Look, I'm so grateful that we have a season 2. And I just want to continue, you know, diving into, you know, the particulars of this really complicated world out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what it's like to be in your 20s, living in a big city, with so many questions and so many concerns with what's happening around us in this world. You know, I think we all share a lot of fears, but there's also so much damn fight and love and courage that, you know, we try to find that balance on the show. So I just want to keep finding that balance, keep telling those stories that we're so lucky to be able to tell.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you, when you write or produce television, you're blowing up a lot of things or you're shooting a lot of things. And we don't have to do any of that. We get to tell, you know, really character-driven stories. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm just grateful that we get to keep doing that.
Yeah.
It's not a show about murder.
Yeah.
I know you like those shows.
Yeah, listen.
We have a question from the chat.
Sometimes I hate my laugh. Does that ever happen to you?
Really?
Seriously?
I literally just laughed and I was like, oh, I hate my laugh.
You have a great laugh.
Thank you.
Well, I get to laugh like a Japanese cartoon. You know, the ones in the bubble that go hee hee hee. Seriously, everybody from college was just like, you're like a Japanese comic book. I'm like, I actually take it. I like it. Thank
okay,
you.
Yeah,
it's
right.
unique.
Interesting.
Well, we do have a question from the chat. So Jazzy Jones wants to know, is any like the creators or J-Lo possibly going to make a cameo?
Oh.
The creators, as in Peter, Joanna, and I?
Yes.
So I don't know if I'm allowed to announce this, but maybe I will.
Joanna
used to be a soap star.
Yes.
A really big soap star. And we've been trying to get her to do something on the show, and she finally agreed to do it.
Yay!
So she's going to be on later in the season.
Yay.
That's incredible.
AfterBuzz TV
I know.
Exclusive.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
we've got all the sound effects tonight.
Yeah. But not certainly not me. Hell to the no. I told you that earlier.
Yes, you did.
And then J-Lo, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe one day. You know, she's a busy mogul.
She
that
is.
One.
But that would be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
She could come in as her character from second act and just totally be like, all right, this is what you got to do.
With Mariana?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that'd be everything.
That would be everything. I need J-Lo as a mentor to Mariana now.
That would be incredible. She could be like a boss at Speculate.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
She would be a boss boss.
That would be amazing. Would.
Yeah. Okay.
I would just love to see Evan and then J-Lo in a scene. I don't know. That would just be an amazing dichotomy. Like, I wouldn't even know what to expect anymore. I would just be like glued to the TV.
Yeah.
Evan, are you okay? Like, are you you're
gonna go
okay?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to know like which new character, so that came in during Good Trouble that wasn't in The Fosters, do you, I guess, relate to the most?
Mm. Oh God, that's like asking me to pick my favorite child. Although relate is a different question, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Who do I relate to the most? I would probably say Gael.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I like. So, you're like a fan of him and Callie's relationship? Because I know I am. There's chemistry.
Oh hell yeah! Yeah. I mean, that was one of the easiest scenes to shoot, by the way.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The bathtub scene,
sexy montage.
So now all guys have to kind of emulate this for their Valentine's Day. You know, if you need an idea,
just watch that scene.
Yeah, just watch that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice.
That was so hot.
It really was.
Like, and then like whenever was it like
Clay
like on his face, and she was like, they have got chemistry.
My favorite was the bathtub with the mirror, and then just like him in front of her. I was just like,
that was fun to shoot. Yeah. And by the way, I got called out on Twitter earlier today.
Why?
Everyone was like, oh my God, it's like Ghost. You remember Ghost?
Yeah, I actually had that thought when I was watching.
You guys are too young.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, Ghost, go home and do your homework. Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore,
Whoopi Goldberg.
Where she won an Oscar for.
Oh my gosh. This is like wait a second.
Yes.
No, okay, so it's basically the famous pottery scene of and like him kind of behind her in like ghost form and just like meshing their. Oh my gosh. It's.
She's throwing pottery, it's all wet,
it's
and
so
he gets
beautiful.
Behind her and they start to.
Oh, I've seen that scene on YouTube.
Yes,
yeah,
it's a very famous cinematic moment.
Yes.
Behind, and it's like, that's like the thing where they're like touching hands and they're like, oh my gosh. That's hot.
So I didn't do that, but I did a little bit of the play on the face, it was a little love for that movie.
Love that.
It made me think of it. I was just like, are we having a ghost moment? And I'm just, okay, cool. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Right.
So it was kind of obvious, but it was my tribute. Yeah.
Well, let's get into a little bit of predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Go ahead.
Somebody had a question. And I was like, continue. Okay. We're predictions now.
What I was going to point out, obviously Malika is struggling with this balance of wanting to be there for Jamal's mom. And then she also wants to be there for Callie. And I think, talking to the moms, Callie's kind of came to the conclusion that she really needs to step forward and just let them know, hey, this is kind of an issue. And so I feel like Callie might be getting ready to do the right thing. And then before she's able to, Ben's going to drop the knowledge and then it's going to be a mess and it's going to be found out that way rather than her coming to them honestly. He's going to kind of beat her out, I feel like. So that's my prediction of the week.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was thinking too. And I have not forgotten last week we had, you know, the crazy barbecue at the judge's house. And so I'm just excited because Callie's really the only one that sort of knows anything about his personal life, like beyond what he wants them to kind of see, like with his son, who we saw has an ankle bracelet. And so I'm just really anxious. And I mean, it's not really a prediction. I'm just sort of really anxious to see what's going to happen there? Because everyone has their little secrets, and I'm sure that Rebecca does, too. I really missed Molly McCook in this episode, to be honest with you.
Me too.
Yeah, she's
love
great.
Her.
She's wonderful. But I'm just, I love the law firm, so I'm really, really excited to see more of that drama.
I agree with you on Ben for me, because I saw Evan and Mariana, so maybe I feel he's becoming a little bit more catching on to like what the other people have been a little bit hiding from him in a way, and he's recognizing that she is working hard, she did all the work and she didn't take any credit for it. So I really think he's gonna noggin, brain on, light bulb, have the light bulb moment. So
I love that.
Well, I can't play this game. Yeah, that would be really unfair.
I mean, I would be here for it, though. Spill the tea. We're ready.
We'll talk about it off camera.
No. We don't know if we can trust you with any secrets, Shay.
Hey!
Seriously, we learned that earlier
You really
today.
Have to bring that up right now?
I'm sorry.
Really?
This is like just roasting Shay tonight.
No.
Like,
we love her.
Where's my love?
We
what
love
happened
you.
To us, Dakota?
We love you. We love you. We absolutely love you. So I did want to ask you, though. I wanted to see, obviously, you're producing a lot of stuff at Rockwell Table and Stage.
Yeah.
What's going on there right now?
I just did, during the holidays, I did Scissorhands, the musical, which we were only supposed to run for 4 weeks or something.
And
we just kept selling out and selling out, so we kept extending it, extending it. We finally had to close it, but we're going to come back for 3 weeks in March. So I've got that going on. I'm an investor in Moulin Rouge, which is opening on Broadway.
Yes.
So that's exciting. I mean, I moonlight in theater. I just, you know, it's my big heart, my big passion.
Aww. I love that.
Yeah.
Their shows are so good, too.
Yeah.
They really... Especially Shallow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Rockwell lets you record things and put them on YouTube. So if anyone lives... I mean, I'm from Indiana. I used to watch all of Bradley's theater shows online. So you can just YouTube Rockwell. And...
Or hashtag Scissorhands Musical on Instagram. It's all over.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to come, let me know.
I would love to. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I would love to.
All right.
I'm excited. They're coming back because I wasn't able to make it the last time. So I'm let's do it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, good.
Yay.
It's a good
That's
time.
That's exciting.
And Emma's in the show.
Yes.
Emma is in Scissorhands. Yeah.
I love that.
Incredible.
Yeah. Well, I cannot wait to see what's going to happen next, you guys. We just are super excited. We have a couple more guests lined up.
Yeah.
So please tune in every week on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will be here. We'll be recapping with you, talking about all the drama. All the tea is going to be spilled.
It is.
That's such an old term, and I'm still using it. What's going on? People don't use
that.
Not
yeah,
an
we
old
still
term.
Use it.
You still use it?
I've been hearing it, so yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, all right.
Like educating Dakota.
Yes, but any final thoughts before we wrap?
Oh, gosh. Just bring it on.
Bring it on.
Like, I'm ready, but, like, I'm not ready. I'm a little scared because preview for next week. I'm a little nervous, but I'm so excited.
I'm scared about the judge. I just, because he's such a wild card, I don't really know. Like, do I root for him? Do I not root for him?
Mm-hmm.
He got issues. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, where can everyone find you on social media?
At Bradley Bredewig on Instagram and Twitter.
All right.
You guys can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me on Sundays at 9 p.m. on Black Monday.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Alphabet_Ann and on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_.
And you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. Bradley, thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
You.
We had the best time, and congrats on season 2.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.